know he's all right. I tried him for myself. Oh, Lord, he's been good to me. Yeah, Lord, he brought me from a mighty long way through sickness. He brought me through good health. He brought me. Yeah, he's all right. Yeah, Lord. Message of the gospel is a message of love, life, and liberty. God bless you. God bless you. Come on.
We know your heart and spirit burned as you listened to our pastor, Dr. Carl Armstead, as he preached and taught the word of God. Join us in our regular worship services on Sunday, 11 o'clock a.m., midweek service at 7 o'clock p.m. For additional information, phone the church at 337-392-0952. And join us again for an awesome Word of God next week at the same time.
Is KAYT Gina Alexandria. No need to worry. The gospel is on the radio at 88.1. Call up somebody. Tell them it's going to be all right. KAYT. Got the gospel transmitting all day.
Join us as we open our Bibles, hearts, and minds to be blessed by the Word of God as Dr. Joshua Joy Dara, Senior Pastor of Zion Hill Church Family, gives us insight into the gospel in plain English.
Forget the bridge that crossed me over. Mama and Mama Dorothy, thank you for giving me a solid foundation on which to stand. I love you.
Right. Welcome to the Zion Hill Church Family Broadcast, where faith finds its home and every soul is welcomed with open arms. Nestled in the vibrant community of Pineville, Louisiana, under the compassionate leadership of Pastor Joshua Joydera, visit our online sanctuary at zionhill.com. That's ZIONHILL.com. Now, let's join the broadcast already in progress.
That woman was singing. Pastor Dayton was right there with her. I thought I had two solos. It's good to know God for yourself. The book of Romans, chapter 12, verse number 12. Just one verse quickly before we take the communion. Romans 12, 12. If you find it, say amen.
Amen.
The book is Romans. The chapter is 12, verse number 12. The Bible says, rejoice in hope. That's what you just did just now. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. That's all I want to explain to you. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. And be constant in prayer. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the word of God. It is so rich. It is so powerful. Thank you for the blueprint for living. Thank you for roadmap for living. Thank you for your faithfulness. Even in this season of Easter, you keep on blessing us. Lord, we say thank you. Holy Spirit, teach us your word this morning. Help your servant to explain, to proclaim, to preach the word of God. Somebody's here to receive. Somebody here is believing God for a breakthrough in their life. Lord, I pray that you would touch us in a very special way. Holy Spirit, have your way. Be glorified in this house. In Jesus' name. And the church said,
amen.
Amen. You may be seated. I want to talk with you for a few minutes on the subject titled, A Major Lesson from Easter. We're in a season of Easter. And I want to share with you one major lesson. Much, much important than Easter bunny and all this mundane stuff. Ladies and gentlemen, in the passage I read to your hearing this morning, there are three lessons. The Bible says you need to learn to rejoice. I watched you do that just a few minutes ago. Number two, the Bible says you need to learn to be patient. Be patient with your own self. Be patient with God. Be patient with your children. Sometimes I pray, Lord, teach me to be patient. And the third lesson, ladies and gentlemen, The Bible says be constant in your prayer life. Jesus demonstrated all those three lessons during Easter. Notice on Palm Sunday, which is today, the people were rejoicing. That's what he said, rejoice in hope. Everybody in the city, they were dancing, they were celebrating, they were rejoicing. And notice, during the Last Supper, even though Jesus was saying, my heart is sorrowful. I've been there. On the outside, you are smiling. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. But something on the inside. Yes, Lord. And yet he was patient in tribulation. And then the Bible said, be constant in prayer. And again, we saw that during Easter, he went to a garden. Some of you went to Israel with me. We visited that garden. And he was praying and praying. He invited all of his disciples, come pray with me. The Bible says he prayed so much that tears, like drops of blood. So you can imagine how intense that prayer is. The Bible says be constant in prayer. Constantly praying. Every day ought to be a day of prayer in your life. Again, we saw him on the cross, still praying. Father, forgive them. Because they don't know what they're doing. Ladies and gentlemen, God wants you and me to be constant in our prayer life. Ladies and gentlemen, so I want you to zero in on that part that says be constant in your prayer. I was here during a prayer meeting this past Friday, and Deacon Jackson and Deacon Brown, they were leading prayer, you know. Some people were getting baptized. About 7 people got baptized, you know. Amen. And I was on the piano, plunking the piano, minding my own business. And that's when the Holy Spirit impressed upon me. He said, look in the audience. Most of your members were not here. They don't even know what's going on. Teach them how to pray. Now you see where the sermon comes from. Be constant. I saw the deaconesses and the minister, they were rejoicing with those candidates. But the audience, they were at home. Say, go and teach your people. Easter is not just about a good time. It was a time of fervent prayer by the Lord Jesus Christ. What is prayer? Prayer is simply communication with God. Tell somebody I got it. Prayer is more than just communication with God. Prayer is the way you connect with Almighty God. If I ask you how many of you want to contact God, how many of you want to connect with God, I'm sure just about all of us will raise our hand. But how do you connect with Him? is through your prayers. I got to be honest with you now. All promises of God, the Bible says, yea and amen. The Bible also said, God has blessed us with spiritual blessings. Then it say, in heavenly places. In other words, many of our blessing is not here. Guess where they are located? In heavenly places. Well, you got to know how to get them to manifest on this planet. Just imagine a padlock. See, the padlock is often used to lock something up. In order for you to have access to those things that are locked up in heavenly places, you got to have the key. Are you still here? Ladies and gentlemen, you can cry all day before the door. If you don't have the key, you will not be able to get access. The Bible talks about various types of keys to open the door to your blessings. Say, for example, we talked about the key of David, which is music, which is praise. That's a key. That's why the Bible says, if you want to learn the protocol of heaven, if you want to access, you want to connect with God, enter his gates with thanksgiving. That's a key. Yet many of you come to church without a spirit of praise. Guess what? You are standing behind the door. You have no access to the King of Kings. You got to have keys. Praising God is not an option. You cannot come to church and wait on the choir to sing their song. Because in the kingdom of God, you are locked outside. You are just a spectator. You couldn't get in because you don't have the key. And the key of David is praise and worship. You see how these things work. You'll be amazed how many of you have been coming to church since 1902, but you never connect with God. You never get through the door because you don't even have the keys. Try it today. You try to go back to your car and you don't have your keys. You're going to need a taxi that day. You got to have the keys. You know, Jesus was talking to Peter one day. He said, I give you the key to the kingdom. So there are keys to unlock spiritual blessings in heavenly places. The problem with many Christians is that we are trying to serve God. We want to connect with God. We want access to God, but we don't have the keys. One of those keys, ladies and gentlemen, is prayer. That's what I want to call your attention to today. Ladies and gentlemen, did you notice that all religion in the world pray? Every religion. Hindu people pray. Buddhists pray. Muslims pray. Christians pray. You, if any religion, everybody pray, because they recognize that's the key to connect with Almighty God. So when you find yourself not praying, you are outside the door. Many of you, you're trying to get in, but you have no keys. You have no access. And then what many religious folk be doing, they start crying, oh, Lord, oh, God, oh, God, oh, God. Crying will not open the door. You need the key. Are you still here this morning? And you can tell who has keys and who don't. See, you are looking at me. I'm looking at you. There are many folks on television watching this. We are looking at each other. But you can tell the ones that have keys to the kingdom. And you can tell the ones that don't. You have religion, but you have no access to God. How can you tell, Brother Pastor? I'm glad you asked. It's very simple. It's in the proof. It's in the result. If you're a man or woman of prayer, it will show in your life. The Bible talks about let your light so shine among men that they may see. You don't have to say, well, I've been praying all day, all year. Pastor, you just don't know. I don't have to come to church before I pray. You can run your mouth all you want. We are looking at your life. Where is the proof? Where are the results that you're a man or woman of prayer? The problem with many Christians today, we are saved, we're on our way to heaven, but we lack proof. We lack result. We are talking, we are speaking, but no proof. Are you still here this morning? The reason why many people are not attracted to the church house is because there ain't no proof.
You better speak. That's the truth.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are telling people that we got the blessing. We got the miracle. We tell people this is Bethlehem, house of bread. And then folks come in because they are hungry and then they see no bread. All they see is empty orphan. And guess what? They say, I'm out of here. We need proof. We need result. Ladies and gentlemen, proof attracts people. You wait until a local church raise a dead body. The next day, that church will be packed out. The world just waiting. Don't just sing a song. Don't just dress up. Brother preacher, don't just whoop and holler. Where is the proof? Where is the evidence? Where are the results? We know that the world is facing crisis. We know the world is struggling. In fact, the Bible says, in this life you shall face tribulation. But because you're a child of God, you overcome. Are you still here? That's what the world is looking for. Solutions. Practical resolve. Are you still here this morning? If you say you are a house of bread, then when we come to the house, we ought to find bread. What separates Christians from other religions? I told you, everybody pray. What ought to separate Christianity from other religion is results. Jesus had multitudes following him. He literally emptied out all the churches. You know why everybody left their church to follow Jesus? Results. Proof. Amen. I'll give you an example. One day, Peter and John, they were going to church, and they ran into a brother at the gate called Beautiful. Am I still in the book? And Peter looked at him. He said, "Hey, Brother Baba, silver and gold I don't have, but I got something." He said, "Get up and start walking." And the Bible said, the Negro got up. Result, proof, concrete evidence. That brother went back in the church shouting and jumping and rejoicing. The proof is in the pudding. Amen, somebody. Ladies and gentlemen, let the record show that God answers prayers. Did you hear what I said? I said, your God, my God, our God answers prayers. The Bible is full of examples of people that prayed and they get results. This church is full of examples. Many of you share your testimonies with me. People that prayed and they get concrete results, tangible results. So why not you? My brothers, my sister, you and I need to improve our prayer life. Remember what the passage said, be constant in prayer. Abraham prayed for Abimelech, and Abimelech got healed. He and his whole house. Hannah prayed to have a child. And guess what happened? Sister Gloria was told by this time next year. And sure enough, she got her baby. Elijah prayed that there be no rain for 3 years. Guess what happened? There was not a drop of rain for 3 years. Jabez prayed. Don't just sing the prayer of Jabez. These are people like you, ordinary folks, black and white, that are praying and God answers their prayer. If your prayer is not being answered, something is wrong. Hezekiah prayed. He was at the point of death. The Lord granted him 15 more years. Are you still here? Even Jonah was at the belly of the whale. He prayed. And that big fish got to cough him up. You know what I'm trying to tell you? God answers prayer. Jairus prayed for Jesus to heal her daughter. Even when message come from home and he was told, don't trouble the teacher anymore. Your daughter is dead. Jesus said, no, don't buy the report. If you would just believe God, All things are possible to them that believe. You know what I'm trying to tell you, brothers and sisters? Your God answers prayer. Even a thief on the cross prayed to God. Remember me when you get into your kingdom. And God answered his prayer. Am I right about it? Remember Paul and Silas in Philippian jail? The Bible says at midnight. Many of us, we're going through midnight right now. But when are you going to really pray constantly? And because they prayed, the jailhouse swung wide open. God has promised that when you pray, he will answer your prayer. Don't let these religious people tell you sometimes he answers, sometimes he don't. There is no such scripture. When you pray, if you believe, you will receive. Period. Matthew 7:7, he said, ask, it shall be given to you. Seek, you shall find. Knock, the door will be opened unto you. Jeremiah 33:3, he said, call upon me and I will show you great and mighty things that you've never seen in your life. Matthew 18:19, he said, if two of you, only two of you, shall agree concerning anything right here on earth, it shall be done unto you. Stop making excuses. Tell your neighbor it's time to pray. John 14:14 says, if you ask anything in my name, Jesus said, I will do it. And then you read in the book of Philippians 4:6. He said, don't worry about anything. But by prayer, somebody shout prayer. By prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known. And the peace, oh glory. But I call the police. The peace of God in the midst of crisis, the peace of God in the midst of temptation, the peace of God in the midst of trouble, the peace of God. It's time to pray. Somebody shall pray. So if God answers prayer, where is the proof? Why are people make it more convenient to stay outside the church? They're looking for proof. If no proof, we won't attract nobody. You know the reality of where we are as Christians? We hit and miss. We get result every now and then. And we have settled for a little bit blessing. And that is why our prayer meetings are empty. Can you handle the truth? It means something is lacking. And it's not on God's part. It's on our part. We got to know how to pray. We got to know how to connect with God. We got to know how to produce result, tangible proof. We talk healing. but we don't manifest healing. And almost half of the body of Christ walking around in sickness. And the Bible says, by his stripes, you're healed. Are you still here? That's why the world don't want to know about our God. We are becoming big talkers and less doers. We learn how to shout, but no proof, no result, no power. It's time for you and me to learn how to communicate to God, how to access God, how to connect with God. Please forgive me, because this might rub some of you in a wrong way. We are lukewarm. We could do better. And I can relate to that. I was in that situation. I was frustrated because I know better. I know what the Bible says. The Bible says, call upon me and I will answer. And I will show you great and mighty things. When I didn't see it in my life, I knew something is wrong. You don't need to be tiptoeing around the problem. Don't settle for a little bit. Religion, that's what it will do for you. So guess what I did? I became hungry. What did I say I did? Guess what the Bible says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 6. He said, blessed are those who hunger. Blessed are those who thirst after righteousness. Guess what will happen to them? They shall be filled. It's time for the church to get hungry for the things of God. Don't just settle for every now and then God heal you. Every now and then God bless you. Every now and then God open door. He wants to open door all the time. He wants to heal you all the time. He wants to make a way all the time. Yes, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, in my quest for answer, I ran into a revelation. What did I call it? Open your Bible. Let me share with you. Hebrews chapter 11. My life has never been the same again. I was just a missionary Baptist preacher, but I was hungry for more. I knew God has a whole lot more to offer. I was hungry. I said, Lord, no, I'm not going to settle for just a dew drop from heaven. When you promise to pour out your blessing. And one day I stumbled into this scripture, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 33. Beginning from verse 33, he begins to talk about some people who through faith, guess what they did? They subdued kingdoms. I said, oh my God. While I'm walking around with Mickey Mouse, blessing, there are people that are subduing kingdoms. It's a true faith, they wrought righteousness. Through faith, they obtain the promises of God. Through faith, they stop the mouth of lion. The lion is chasing you around. You ought to stop the mouth of every lion in your life. Through faith, they quench violence of fire. Through faith, they escape the edge of the sword. On your job, you ought to escape the edge of the sword. In your business, when folks are trying to mess around, conspiring, trying to do you wrong, they will stumble and fall. Keep on reading. They say, out of weakness, they were made strong. there were people who were strong, were valiant in flight. They turned to flight army of aliens. In other words, there are people just like you who are getting results. Results, results. Notice verse 33. That's what changed my own life forever. He said they obtained the promises. You know what I discovered? The promises of God will not drop on your lap. Are you listening to me? I was lost. Ain't no shame in my game. I grew up a Baptist boy. And I was trained to think all I need to do is just wait on the Lord and these promises will drop. No promises will drop on your life. You have to obtain it.
Yes, sir.
Are you listening to me? You have to possess it. You have to go after it. Ladies and gentlemen, that is why going to prayer meeting is non-negotiable. If you have a need in your life, don't wait for God to drop a manna from the sky. You have to obtain the promises of God. The first problem, ladies and gentlemen, most Christians know about prayer, but they don't pray. If you don't believe me, just go on your website and look at the last prayer meeting. If I ask you how many of you believe in prayer, all of you will raise your hand. But where were you when it was time to pray? 7 a.m. this morning, there was prayer in this building. Where were you? Friday, 6 p.m., there was prayer in this building. Where were you? You are waiting on God to drop blessings. It won't happen. Somebody needs to love you enough to tell the truth. You got to obtain it. You got to go after it. If nobody else in the building, you ought to be the first to show up. Because nobody knows like you know what's going on in your life. And then you know another problem. Not only do we not pray, then the few of us that pray, we pray only short prayers. Somebody needs to tell the truth. We pray quick prayers. We pray emergency, ER. So we only go to God when there's a crisis. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. Oh, my wife is trying to run away. Oh, Lord, help me, Lord. Don't look at your neighbor now. Today we're going to keep it real. Quick prayers. Short prayer. Emergency prayer. And you know something else? 95% of our prayer is fake. All we pray about is bless me, bless me, bless me, bless me. There ain't no prayer. That's a selfish bunch. Bless my dog. Bless my cat. Bless my snake. Give me a house. Give me a car. Give me a husband. And you're still single. Who's mighty quiet now? How do we really pray to get result? Where is the prayer that Jesus himself taught us? And you know, religion kind of messed us up. What Jesus taught us, we call it the Lord's Prayer. Let me help somebody. That's why I don't have too many friends, because I got to stand for the truth. It is not the Lord's Prayer. That's your religion killing you. The Lord don't need prayer. You do. You know, in that prayer, he said, forgive us. God has nothing to be forgiven of. Jesus Christ committed no sin. So it's not the Lord's Prayer. It's a model, a guideline, a model for how you and me should pray. And in that guideline, you know, the first thing he told you and I to do, honor God, praise God. And yet, you don't praise God all week. Then you come to church, you're tired. We can't get you to clap your hands. We can't get you to move. I'm tired. I work all night. He said, honor God. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. You are to come in this morning excited for God. You are to come in this morning ready to praise God. You are to come in this morning ready to jump and shout and clap and sing because God has been so good to you. I'm trying to help somebody. That's why he said enter his gates. How do you enter his gate? Do you really want to connect with God? How do you enter his gate? How do you enter his court? Are you still here? People will tell me your choir is good. Your praise worship is good. When is the congregation going to be good? I love you too much. I want a child that is blessed. I want a child that is healed. I want a child that is delivered. I want a child that is full of the Holy Ghost. I hear the choir sing. I hear the musician get excited. When are you going to get excited? Has God not been good to you? Did he make a way out of nowhere? Did he heal your body? Did he make your enemy leave you alone? Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Oh, we're going to get excited in this church. God has been too good. Ladies and gentlemen, the Bible said, Mark chapter 1, verse 35, Jesus every day. Am I still in the book? You right, Reverend. Before anybody get up, he will steal away. Just praying. Not for a few minutes. Not for a few seconds. For hours. Not surprising when he will come out, he'll be swinging in power. Do you want power?
Yes, sir.
Do you want Holy Ghost power? Do you want the devil to hear your name and run? Do you want the enemy to leave you alone? We need to improve our prayer life. Let me tell you what prayer will do. Brother Chairman, I'm sorry. They told me my time is up. Here's how it works. You ever seen a spacecraft? You see that big thing that take off to heaven? Let me tell you how things work. When that spacecraft take off, it has to fight a force that is called gravity. Are you still here? Am I telling the truth? So that big thing is trying to go up. Because you know why we're trying to go up? We scientists, they discover there are so many planets out there. There are so many galaxies. So we want to go find out what's there. The same thing in spiritual life. There are so many blessings locked up in heavenly places. In order for you to get prayer is not answered on the earth realm. You got to go into the heavenlies. So prayer, I told you, is communication. But I told you, is connecting with God. I told you in the past, prayer is giving God permission to do things here on earth. But I also need to tell you, your prayer is the vehicle, like that spacecraft, that you're going to ride into the heavenlies. And while you're trying to go up, you see gravity will be fighting you. That gravity is your flesh. Are you listening to me today? You got flesh. I got flesh. All God's children got flesh. Flesh don't want to pray. Flesh don't want to get in the presence of God. So the flesh will be pulling you down. But if you will pray constantly, if you will pray without ceasing, if you will keep on pushing and keep on pressing, soon and very soon, you're going to cross over. And you know, once you cross over that space, there's no more gravitational pull. All you can do is just cruise. Oh, Lord, help me, Jesus. God is waiting for you and me to ascend into the heavenly so you can cruise in the presence of God. There are blessings waiting for you. There are blessings waiting for your family. There are blessings waiting for your children. There are blessings waiting for your grandchildren. There are blessings waiting for your children's children. I want to pray with somebody today. There's a brother by the name Elon Musk. He just created a spacecraft. And you know what he told us, Brother Chairman? He said, you can ride with me. You don't have to be an astronaut. Now you can get on that spaceship. And so for invitation today, I want to invite somebody who wants to ride with me. Maybe you're like me, you are tired of moving like chickens on earth, waiting for a dew drop every now and then, something might fall. But you want to be in the sky, in the heavenly, where you can cruise. You don't have to deal with the gravitational pull of the flesh. Maybe you need something to pray about. Find your way to the altar. Ain't no shame in my game. I have a lot to pray about. I got tired of just having religion. I said, Lord, help me. Through faith, they obtained the promises.